The 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
The Huskies got a 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Sasha just scores! Missed the end! Put it in!
I am a Uper.
They'll flip it up to Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love UP.
Oh, what a play by Michigan Tech!
And my heart is here.
Save it for Misiak. Misiak, wraparound attempt. Break to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Scores! It's in the net!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
Oh, it's a Monday morning, and it's always a little bit of a bummer Monday morning when the Huskies did not play that weekend, and I don't like weekends off. Thank goodness that weekend is over. Now we get to play hockey. Michigan Tech heading down to Bowling Green State University. Head coach Joe Schott is with us. Good morning, coach.
Morning, Dirk.
I'm ready to talk hockey. We've got a big weekend coming up back into WCHA play against one of our rivals in Bowling Green State. We've had some great games against this team, some very important matchups against this team, and always tough to play in that building down there in Ohio.
Yeah, it'll be a great learning experience for our guys. Always good to play there, enjoy the competition. Traditionally well coached, very veteran this year at all positions. Even the goaltender who hasn't played. I mean, he played the last couple of years behind the guy for the most part, but he got plenty of starts. So they're veteran at every position. They're going to be good. It's a great environment down there, and really look forward to going down.
Do you think this is the best Bowling Green team we've seen, as good as some of their teams have been over the past few years? Do you think this is their best team that they've had put together?
I don't know yet. We haven't seen them. We haven't been on the ice with them. They're awful good, though. They're awful veteran, you know, with what they have up front, Latorno. You know, up front, Lickenheld up front, has a good presence about him. Ford up front, so many familiar names, Craigs, Johnson, Wright, Cruz up front, mm-hmm. Rahauser on defense, Wells on defense, Kara, the number 27, tremendous hockey player. It's a hard name to pronounce. Can you pronounce it?
I can, but that was a good crack. Yeah,
but you're not going to say it, though, because it's a hard one. But anyways, he's a Theo Caritis, I think it's something. I believe that's right. Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty close.
And he's as good as any defenseman in the league. So, and then TJ Lloyd.
I think it's Theo Caritis.
Theo Caritis. Yeah. He's a tremendous player. Every time we play against him, and he was fun to watch last year. He's fun to watch this year. And TJ Lloyd on defense, who was the Canadian Defenseman of the Year last year in junior hockey. He's cousins with Parker Stretz. Again, our team, tremendous player who won. We're number 7 for them. So lots of depth up front, lots of skill and talent. Rahauser probably could have signed 2 years ago. Keeps going back.
Yeah.
Wright's having a great start for them as well. So be fun.
It'll yeah,
be
they had good. A couple big wins over the weekend. Wright already with 5 goals on the season. He's had the overtime winner, I think, on Friday for Bowling Green. But, Coach, we had that extra week to get ready for Bowling Green. What are some of the things that you worked on? You told us some of the things you were going to work on. Did that change at all?
No. We went to the details of what we have to do. Wright scored 11 seconds in overtime on Saturday.
Yeah, I know.
At Western.
11
so,
seconds in.
Yeah, so they had a nice sweep against Western Michigan. A good our conference actually did very well non-conference this weekend. So there's a big improvement in that area this year for our conference, which is going to help teams down the road. We did a lot of work on a lot of things. Again, our team is working hard, attentive to detail. I think the biggest thing for us is just taking that hesitation out of our game and having that, you know, that being on our toes and having those guys that want to be the leaders on the, confidence wise, in every aspect within the game. But practices are going very well. Leadership is outstanding. you know, the guys are working very hard. They're attentive to detail. Just a few guys having trouble with consistency within practice. Practices are good. Again, I think our biggest thing is just getting rid of that hesitation. So there's absolutely no hitch, no waiting. You know, some people say we don't trap in the forecheck, but you know, I've had some people say, you know, they, like ever since Mel's here, I've had a couple comments about that, that they, you know, we have that trap forecheck. We're ever going to get away from it. That's the hesitation I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Those guys that want to be, we didn't trap with Mel here. We don't trap as a rule. So, I mean, there's situations where you're certainly looking for two-on-one opportunities, but, you're trying to be the aggressor. You're trying to be the first guy in on the forecheck, all those types of things. You're trying to take away time and space in the neutral zone. You're trying to take away time and space to have first, second man on D zone cover. So there's so many things that you're trying to do. And it's just, those are the areas that we're working on just to take away any hesitation. You'd rather err on the side of aggressiveness than err on the side of pacificity.
Coach, you were saying before we got on the air here that you know, the guys are making great plays in practice and they're having trouble scoring goals even with great shot. Is that because our goaltending is doing so well even in practice too?
I think it's a combination of things. I think it's gaining confidence and learning how to score goals. You know, they say that goal scorers see net and non-goal scorers see goalie. And you know, I think there's a degree of that's true, because I know coming up as a goaltender, I don't see a lot of individual, like during a game, I don't see a lot of individual, like I don't watch individual people. I see more flow, and I think that's just from being a goaltender, that you're looking, as a goaltender, you're looking at everything coming at you. You're looking at the options that are available. You're anticipating what they might do. So I think your brain learns to see it that way. So I think there are things that are innate within individuals that match up with their learning curves, their experience that they had growing up. And I think that what we try to do is over time consistently allow some of those guys that have had some experience in scoring to be able to put in situations in practice where they do score, where they expect to score, and where they like to score. And ultimately, that's what we want to do. We want guys to score goals. Okay. You know, we want to score goals. You know, I'd love to lead the league offensively, but there's little things that you have to do all the time to do that. And when you're getting ugly goals, then the pretty ones are bonus, you know what I mean? Because you don't get a ton of pretty goals where you say, wow, what a great play. And we've had some of those already. The ugly goals are the ones that you need to make your, those are your bread and butter. Those ones where you don't know who scored it. They just went in the net.
Is there still a lot of, moving around of the Lions, coach, in your mind, especially when you have a week off? Are you, mixing and matching different guys and trying to find different combinations right now? Or is it, you have a lot of them set in place?
We made some changes, some big changes this past week, and I think the players enjoyed it, and I think we saw some growth and some establishment of depth. So yeah, there'll be constant juggling to try to, you know, guys are in, guys are out. And what I mean by that is they're on their, guys are trending up, guys are not trending up. Trying to put guys together that complement each other at any given time. That's just a constant evolution within how you do things. Things are always changing. Guys are always growing. Guys are, you know, you get to a point in the year, coming up that where guys are a little less attentive to detail as a whole, where they're, you know, they're not doing the little things they were doing before. Maybe at times, mature teams get through that and force themselves through that. Immature teams settle in and, you know, start, you know, backing off just a little bit. So we have to work through that. But during those times, you're given the ball, so to speak, to some other players that are fighting through that and still producing. So it's a constant evolution.
You know, you and I were talking, well, we already touched a little bit about the non-conference record over the weekend being 6-4-2 in favor of the WCHA out of conference. I know it's really early in the season, but do you feel as a whole, the whole WCHA as a whole is better this year? More teams have upped their game this year than maybe in the first five of the realignment?
Yeah, I don't know if they're better, but they're performing. They're performing. There's a lot of times in the past where, you know, you have a one goal game here, you have a one goal game there, and you know, our league went 4-1 on Saturday night, which is really good. Ferris was able to beat Miami. Alaska was able to, well, Friday, Alaska was able to get that 4-0 win at Penn State. Penn State's picked to win the Big Ten. That's a big win for our league. Alaska's a good team. We saw that when they were here. They're a good team, and they were able to shut out Penn State, who's, I think, for the last 2-3 years has led the country in scoring. So they did a good job on shutting that down. Bowling Green won, in overtime, as we mentioned. Mankato got a nice win at home against North Dakota, 2-1 win. So a lot of good things, 4-1, I think, and the only loss was Lake State lost a 4-3 game at Michigan. So, a lot of good things within, in the league, but I don't think it's a matter of, are we better this year? Oh, Northern with a nice sweep or yeah. Nice win and a tie, but they won on Saturday night at BU. So a lot of good things within the league, at non-conference, and those things all help. But I wouldn't say that the league is better. I'd just say that there are some veteran teams for sure, but they're just bearing down a little bit, and some outcomes are going our way a little bit now.
And it's with the veteran of some of these teams, yeah. they learn how to win games, right? Learn how to win,
yeah,
some of those.
That's right, games. And that's a big deal. Learning how to win. You know, Northern's learned how to win a little bit over there. You know, they get some of these veterans back that come back and do a great job for them. Blue with Northern, like we said, Rahoser, you know, on defense with Bowling Green. Craig's is back with Bowling Green. Letourneau, Ford. Right. You know, they have a lot of guys back that are very good players. A lot of these teams have back. Craighead's doing a good job for Northern. Those veterans are doing a very good job. So it's good to see. It's good to see balance. And you know, veterans do, they're a big part of what you have to do. They set the tempo for you.
Very good. Well, we thank everybody for tuning in here today. It is, time to take a break. When we come back, one of the alternate captains and a senior centerman for the Michigan Tech Huskies, Alex Smith, will be joining us. And if you have a question for Alex, you can email it to us, dj@themix93.com. Or for Coach, same email, dj@themix93.com. We'll talk with Coach and Alex Smith in just a moment. It's all part of the Joe Shine Hour here on Mix 93.
You know when you got to be somewhere, it's like really urgent. You don't want to do it over the phone. Some things just can't be said with an LOL or an OMG. Some things just need to be done IRL. So you're getting your Nissan Altima and drive. Feel the VC turbo engine instantly react to give you more power and efficiency so you can get where you need to go.
Hey, Eric. What are you doing here?
Like.
Huh?
Your social post. I liked it.
Oh, thank you. You know, there's a button for that, right?
I do.
The Nissan Altima, now offering the most tech-advanced engine in its class. This is tech that helps you be there. This is Nissan Intelligent Mobility. Auto Pacific Segmentation, 2020 Altima Platinum versus latest in-market competitors in the premium midsize class. Available feature. World's first production variable compression turbo engine launched by Nissan Motor Company Limited in 2018.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turbo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turbo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images invite you to join Husky Deals. When you join us on Husky Deals, you'll receive exclusive information about our upcoming promotions, sales, and events. Send your preferred email address to campusstore@mtu.edu and we'll add you promptly. Stop by today or visit us online at bookstore.mtu.edu. Husky Deals from the Campus Store and University Images. Don't miss out. Join today. Thank you for your patronage and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome back to the Joe Shine Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Alex Smith, along with head coach Joe Shine, is with us. And Smitty, nice to see you. How was class today?
It was good.
Okay. All right. Well, Smitty, you had the first goal of the season for the Huskies. You're ready to go. Did you enjoy these weeks off preparing for a team, getting a couple extra practices preparing for a team, or would you rather just bang, 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 every Friday and Saturday be playing.
Yeah, I think as a player, you want to play. So I think these bye weeks sometimes drag on a little bit, and it'll be nice to get back out there Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, I can't wait. And this is always a tough place to play in. We know that, Bowling Green. We've had some struggles there. We've had some big wins there, too. How do you, I mean, do you get excited about going into a place like this where it's really loud, everybody's rooting against us, and we're playing a really good team, obviously?
Yeah, I think it's more fun going into an environment where it's a little hostile compared to where there might not be too many fans. So I think everyone gets up for these games. It is loud in that rink, which is nice. It's nice to play in a rink that's loud. They got good fans there. The low roof also, I think, helps with the noise. It's a unique arena, and it's fun to play in.
Edmonton, Alberta is where you're from. Were you an Oilers fan growing up?
Yeah, still am.
Favorite player ever?
Well, it'd be McDavid.
Okay, all right. And do you look fondly back at the Wayne Gretzky years, even though you were very, very young?
No, I just have to look back at them sometimes when guys are giving it to me about the Oilers' recent success. So that's when I pull that out.
Yeah. Coach, what's special about Smitty and his game and what he brings to the table for the Huskies?
Well, he plays the game the right way. You know, if you remember last year, we went into Bowling Green, and you can hear in his voice how he likes these games. He's that type of player. He's hard-nosed. And remember how well he played last year in the playoffs for us? Yeah. In my opinion, his best series by far in the year, and it was at the right time against a hard team, hard competition. So he thrives. He's the type of player that thrives on big games. And I mean, that's what you look for. Last year, I think he... for the good part of the year, he was leading the league in faceoffs, was up there in the country in faceoffs, and I don't know where he ended up as it all shook out, but he's also the guy that has a way of kind of Kenny Lindsman type that used to play for the Oilers. He studies the trash talking a little bit and does a good job. And I mean, I'm often saying to him, "Hey, Smitty, take it easy." And he'll look back and he'll say, "I got it. I know what's going on." He's just getting under their skin. So he's one guy that can do that. And it doesn't mean he's lost his focus. It probably means he's more focused on the game.
Alex, you've had a lot of success as a centerman. How much do you work on taking draws? So we had a long conversation about this on one of the shows recently. How much goes into actually working on that craft of winning draws?
Yeah, it's something that I guess every centerman probably works on a different amount. I know we work on it weekly before games. We just sort of get some reps in. I know some guys like the competition, going against one another on faceoff, sort of going against a righty compared to a lefty. It sort of switches up how you take the faceoff. So, I mean, I personally don't work on it too much. It's more timing. So, I mean, at the start of the year, it's sort of getting your timing back compared to at the end of the year, it might be more of what the other centerman's doing.
How much of it is learning how the linesman's going to drop the puck? I mean, is it different? Do you get a better feel for things towards the end of a game than maybe early on in the first period?
Yeah, for sure. Half the job of a centerman is to try to cheat and try to get that edge. So, I mean, you figure out early on what the linesman's going to let you get away with compared to at the start of the game, where if they're kicking you out, you know that you're not going to be able to cheat as much as you maybe hope to.
Alex Smith is with us, senior alternate captain for the Huskies. You got the A on your chest, and one of the leaders on this team. How much responsibility do you put on yourself as far as leading the team, both on the ice and in the locker room?
Yeah, I mean, you put some pressure on yourself. I'm also a senior, so I mean, whether you have the letter or not on your jersey, it doesn't really matter. But I mean, yeah, a little bit. I mean, I've tried not to change too much. I think that's maybe the most important thing of a leader, is just be yourself. If you sort of get away from that, people sort of see through that. So I think, just being myself is how I'm going to lead.
When you scored that first goal of the season against Robert Morris, I mean, that first game, you get the first goal. That's got to be a great feeling on your senior year to really get off on a good foot there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that was a good feeling. I know last year it took me a while to get my first one, so just sort of take some pressure off your shoulders, even if you don't realize it. It's just nice to get it out of the way and obviously start the season off good for the team.
Do you remember your first goal as a Husky?
Yeah, I do remember my first goal. I think it was against... I think it might have been a 4-on-3, actually, at home. against Alabama Huntsville. It was just sort of a it wasn't a great shot. It was on the ice, I think, but luckily the goalie sort of didn't react quickly.
Let's see if you're right.
6-1 the score. Looking for their fourth power play goal of the game. Down low is the shot. Score! Smith with the goal. That's his first, and he'll pick up the puck. Arno Hannon will. Smith with his first goal as a Husky. A power play tally, making it 7-1.
Do you remember that pretty clearly?
Yeah, 7-1 it said, too. So.
All right. Do you remember this one? This was not a goal. This was your chance to be the hero of the big game in 2017. I think this is the clip here.
He's gonna get it deep. Makes a move.
Oh, he has a dink of the post there.
Yeah.
He's gonna get it deep. Makes a move. Oh,
so what were you seeing? You were coming down the right side in that. That's the championship game against Bowling Green. That was overtime. I don't know if it was. I think probably the first overtime. What were you seeing coming down that far side there? Was that a short side shot? It must have been, hey?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was. I just remember coming down. I think we were all pretty tired, and to just try to get a puck on net, I saw a little opening maybe, and unfortunately it didn't go in, but luckily didn't matter, Shane.
Because what I remember about that goal, and just I've watched the highlights a million times, what I remember about that goal is or that post is that was right after they had gone post to post behind Angus, if you remember that.
Yeah, I do.
And then we started thinking maybe this game isn't going to end, but it finally did with Hannah's goal. But that was a big one. Okay, so let's see what else I got here. Let's see if you remember this one.
Mark Gock now over to Ranky. In front of chance for the Huskies. Score!
No idea, huh?
No, I don't remember that.
That was against Ferris State. I remember that goal. All right, and then I don't remember if this is the one that I wanted to play.
Brought back up by Soucier, and Soucier up to center ice, turned it over, and the Huskies starting back. There's a chance for Smith coming in. Smith trying to get a handle on it. Get a shot, and he scores! What an effort by Smith! It looked like he ran out of time, ran out of room, and he still found a way to bury it. Pass goaltender Zach Driscoll on the Huskies, taken early. 1-0 lead.
You have to remember that one.
16. Is that against Bemidji?
Yes.
Okay, I remember that one, yeah.
Breakaway, because I thought, man, I know you can run out of room. There's no way, because you were trying to haul the puck back in, and it was a great play, and you found a way to sneak
it
under.
Yeah, I think that was a nice pass by Rock. Yeah, I think.
Was that indirect where you got in behind him?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that was Rocky on the assist on that one.
Yeah, that was a nice
play. So those are some of your goals, and I just, you're a freshman and your sophomore year. You is that not working right for
no,
you?
No, I think it is.
Oh. Your freshman and sophomore year, you win playoff championships, a couple of rings there, and it had to be very exciting playing in those big games like that.
Yeah, it was a lot of big games because there was all the playoff games and then the NCAA tournament, so it was a lot of fun. We played a lot of games those years, I think over 40. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it was nice, obviously, your freshman and sophomore year to get league titles and stuff like that and go to the tournament. I mean, that it was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
And you came so close to winning it against Notre Dame, too. I mean, you had the puck right there. It was just on the edge and just couldn't get to it. Take us back a little bit, that play, and remind everybody what was going on there in overtime.
Yeah, I remember we had a lot of pressure. I think it was the end of a shift for a line, so I was out with a couple different guys and got a puck in the slot. It was a nice pass. And then I tried to wait out the goalie. He didn't bite. Threw it on net. And I think it was just sitting on the line there. And I just was like, I think there's a picture. I was like a couple inches away. And then we kept the puck in the zone. I remember I gave a pass to Mark Ock, and he went for a one-timer. And that's when his stick
broke. Stick, yeah.
And it went the other way, yeah.
And just such a game of centimeters and inches. It's
yeah.
Just, it's really unbelievable.
Yeah.
But that leading up to that great run, coach's first year at the helm here, where we had to play everything on the road. We had to go to Bemidji, we had to go to Mankato, and then of course the championship game against Northern. I don't think there were a whole lot of people giving us much of a chance, knowing that everything was going to have to be on the road. Can you talk a little bit about the vibe of the team during that? I mean, to win those games against very, very good teams in very difficult buildings to play.
Yeah, it was pretty different, I guess, than when you look back on it from the first year where, I mean, we had home ice. I think somebody beat somebody, so that we had home ice in the finals there. And obviously that was so much fun, playing in front of our crowd there for the first time in a long time, winning it. And then, it's sort of the opposite where you were on the road then the entire playoffs. It's a different perspective where you don't have your home crowd behind you. You have last change, stuff like that. So, I mean, winning out on the road is pretty cool too. And then to do it in Northern, I mean, that was a lot of fun.
Coach always talks about, after the game, the great amount, when we're on the road, the great amount of Huskies fans we have. I mean, we saw at Robert Morris, we outnumbered the Robert Morris fans in there. Everywhere we've gone here in your first 3 years, three plus years, we see so many fans that come to watch this team no matter where they are. As a leader of this team, that's got to be something you guys thrive on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think we travel, I mean, amazing. I remember, I think it was my freshman year too. We were in Michigan. It was sold out, and we had a ton of fans there. And it was sort of my first taste of seeing how well our fans travel. But yeah, like Robert Morris, we're in Pittsburgh. I mean, I guess we didn't really know what to expect. But the program's never even played there, and we had a ton of fans. I mean, I remember sitting on the bench before the game, I think, saying something to Rocky about how many jerseys were in the crowd already, how many Tech jerseys. So yeah, it's pretty cool seeing. How, like, everywhere we go, there we got a ton of fans, so that's the support's awesome.
Coach Sean, how important is Alex Smith in the success of this team this year? In many ways, does the team go as he goes?
Well, it puts a lot of pressure on him, but his value to our team is immeasurable, and we've talked about this many times, he and I have personally. I think you and I have probably had this chat before. You have different types of leaders. We talk about this as a team. You have guys that lead the locker room. You have guys that lead on ice. You're on ice leaders, and they're not always the same. You have leaders in the group setting that you know, carry the fun part of the group, the lightheartedness. Smitty really wears all those hats. I think that if anybody on our team needed something, I think he's the guy that they would go to if he is the leader of our group, and this isn't something he's hearing now or blushing over, because we've talked about this many times that he carries that, whether you want to or not. A leader is a leader, right? Mm-hmm. And he carries that I think proudly, and does a good job. Our leadership this year, I think, how our group has reacted and things. I enjoy going to the rink every day. I've said that, and you know, I'd say if I didn't. So, but it's been a joy to go there. It was a joy to go last week to the rink to practice. They're intelligent, and that's being led by those individuals. And I think whether Smitty wears the C or the A, I think it's irrelevant. I think he is. I think the guy that's the pulse. I think I've talked about this. Ray is kind of the, he does things, always tries to do things the right way. He's the guy you look to. You say, okay, he is the Husky. If you were to, turn a guy into the freaking Husky, it'd be Ray. But the guy that does it on ice, off ice, in every little aspect is Smitty. And those two guys working together have done a great job, along with Seamus and the people that they've brought on. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of guys within their support group that they've brought on and spent time with as well. So I couldn't have... The group is tremendous. They're fun to be around. They're fun to work with. They're attentive. They practice hard. They practice well. So, and that doesn't come from, from the coaches. It has to come from within the group, and I think they've done a great job.
Alex, have you gotten better at managing school and the job you have, which is being a part of the Michigan Tech hockey program? I would imagine it's maybe a little difficult as a freshman, but you learn how to do it better as you go along.
For sure, yeah. I think when you come in as a freshman, especially playing junior, you take a lot of years off school. So, I mean, I think I had 3 years off school before I came. So, for sure, it's about time management, and once you get into the swing of things, you sort of find time to get stuff done. And I mean, like, this week when we didn't have games, it's sort of crazy how much free time you have. You sort of take for granted the amount of time you have to do stuff. But yeah, no, over the years, it's just become normal now.
Do you relay any of the knowledge that you have to some of the freshmen coming in who maybe panic a little bit? Oh, we got to go on the road. We're leaving Wednesday. We don't get back till Sunday morning. I've got all this work to do.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't relayed any of my school knowledge to them, but maybe I'll do that in the future.
Alex Smith is with us, senior alternate captain for the Michigan Tech hockey team. He and the Huskies and all of us will be down in Bowling Green this weekend for a big WCHA series. And we'll let you go here, Alex, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on the upcoming weekend against Bowling Green and a little bit more on what you think about as far as our chances of beating that really good team in their building.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a good series. I think it's a good test early in the year. Coming off a bye week, too, we'll be fresh. And to be able to go up against a good team, I mean, they swept Western this weekend, so, I mean, it's always a good test. And in that environment, too, like we talked about earlier, it's a lot of fun, and it'll be fun to go on the road and win some hockey games.
All right. Alex, we appreciate anything else from Coach?
No. We'll probably talk today at noon in our captain's meeting. So we're fortunate that he's here doing a great job for
us. Thanks, Alex, for coming in. We appreciate it. And we'll see you going down on the bus this weekend in a big series against Bowling Green. Can't wait.
Yeah, can't wait either. Thank you.
No questions for him on your...
No questions. Gotcha. We must have answered everything.
Perfect.
Everything
perfect.
We wanted. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is Smitty right there, ladies and gentlemen. Where's number 20 for the Huskies? We'll be right back with more from Coach in just a moment, including some of your questions. If you have a question for Coach, email it to us, dj@themix93.com.
Honest conversations mean sharing what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. At times, investing can seem difficult and emotional. Throughout it all, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor is your advocate for the long term, with your best interests in mind. That's why we take the time to listen and understand what's important to you. Honest Conversations. It's another way Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Contact me, John Nelson, your local financial advisor, at 482-8680. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Since 1942, Pisani Company has been distributing your favorite adult beverages here in the Western Upper Peninsula. They're a local family business stationed in Atlantic Mine and part of the fabric that makes our Copper Country community great. Pisani brings you Coors and Coors Light, KBC, Bell's, the ever-popular White Claw, and now, Truly, the official seltzer of the NHL. Nearly 80 years of history and making history every day. Pisani Company, Atlantic Mine.
For decades, getting your GED was the only recognized high school equivalency option for Michigan residents. The state is now offering HiSET and TASC as two other options. Those with a high school diploma or equivalent earn over $6,000 more per year than those without one. Information on programs in your area is available by viewing the Learn More, Earn More page at michigan.gov/adult-education. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Labor and Economic Opportunity and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.
Welcome back to the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93, and you can send your questions in now if you haven't already to dj@themix93.com. We'll ask a couple of questions here for Coach, as a few of you have sent questions in. Coach, what is the status of Mitch Meek, defenseman Mitch Meek?
Mitch's last week was a really good week for him. He practiced really well. We're really being attentive to the individual, trying to really be attentive to the individual this year, and with communication, with video, with a lot of things, just showing what we're really looking for, and I think he, as much as anybody, more than most, is really being receptive to that. Like he's, I think he's honest with he's always an honest evaluator, and so I think we're just trying to play the best guys that give us a chance, that earn it. It's tough when there's such a fine line that differentiates those players, but it's important for us to review every practice on video once, twice, three times, and see which guys are really making good reads on the breakout, on neutral zone, on gapping defensively, on doing all the little things that you need. And he's receptive to it. He's really done a good job, and he's deep in the hunt for the travel squad this weekend for sure.
Another question, Coach. Do you see Coach Ty Aigner's method of coaching any different than what we saw from Chris Bergeron?
I haven't been around them enough to know. Just knowing their personalities, I would say that Berge is no nonsense, and you see the turnover they had on their roster he brought in those two freshmen at Christmas the one year, and they were both gone in the fall of the next year. You know, they brought them in at Christmas to play. Mm-hmm. They played right away, and there was a lot of turnover of their lineup because they weren't, there was an acceptable standard. I think it's a little different when you go in as the assistant. There's more relationships with the players than there is as a head coach. Mm-hmm. Players are more open with you as an assistant. I know when I was an assistant here, I got to know everybody, all the players, pretty intimately. As a head coach, they're trying to avoid, they don't want you to know weaknesses and things like that. So they're certainly playing well, and he knows his personnel. So they're getting that coach bounce. You get that. Walt Kyle used to call it the coach bounce when there's a coaching change. A lot of guys feel a breath of fresh air, and they're certainly showing that.
Did you find that difficult coming in as a longtime assistant, and then a couple years here, obviously, but then coming in as a head coach and not?
No, and I don't think you do. I don't think you do. And we won a championship that year. I think that you have the benefit of the guys that you've spent that time with, that if you've built relationships, the barriers are down and things, and you and those players know what to expect from you, know what you're after. The Baltuses, there were so many of them that I spent such a great amount of time with when they were, Joel Esperance, when they were, when I was the assistant coach, that when they come in, again, it's that coach bounce. They feel that breath of fresh air, that they know exactly what they need to do, and guys did it, and they grew and performed. Mitch Renke so it's when you don't have those relationships, but your expectations don't change, but your demands are you're putting demands on guys. It's the pressure that it's usually. No, it wasn't. It was actually an easy transition for me, because I thought Baltus, those guys did such a great job. Ranks, Mark Ock, those guys all did such a great job. Joel Esperance in getting the message across and managing the team. They managed the team in a great way.
Next question for Coach, if I can find the question again, is then this one, and is interestingly enough addressed to Dork and Coach Joe. What is happening with Tyrell Buckley? He has only played a mere two games over the past two seasons, so it feels like playing at Michigan Tech is terminating his hockey future, says this listener, and no trust is being placed in his skills or hockey drive. This listener says, I watched his junior career, and he was a difference maker on a mediocre team.
I think I answered that already with Meeker. Tyrell's a great young man, hardworking, positive, always doing what he can. It's just a matter of playing who we feel gives us the best opportunity to win, keeping open communication, doing everything we can to help him to grow past people, as we do with everybody. Doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, it's strictly a matter of performance. And with some guys, they have to first show, in practice every day that they're, they have that attention, that attention to grow. Again, Tyrell's an absolutely incredible young man. Love being around him every time I'm around him. He's a honest self-evaluator and things. So hopefully his time comes, and when it comes, that it never changes for him, and that he makes us better, and others learn from the hard work he's put in.
Yeah, he seems to be. I notice when I'm not down there nearly as much, obviously, as you guys, but when I am down there, he's one of the guys that is always smiling, always wants to say hi and talk a little bit about it. Just seems like he's always in a good place. Maybe obviously wants to be playing, but seems like he's, as you said, just a great young man.
Yeah, he is. We have a lot of them. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of those good young men, and only so many can play. Sometimes a guy gets in the lineup because he may have no better defensive instincts, but he adds to your offensive side, the power play or whatever. And another may not add to your offensive side, but is really gives you a little bit more defensively. It comes to what's needed. And the skill set of the individual involved and how they can bring improve on that skill set. We constantly have to improve. I have to improve, challenge myself, challenge our staff every day to get better. We have to get better as coaches. We have to, or else the game passes by. We have to do our best and not be lazy and be attentive to detail. The players have to do the same. And if they're in that and if things are being taught the right way and things, then they'll evolve if they're doing it the right way and attentive to detail and doing everything they can to get better. They will improve and then things are going the right direction. And right now I really like the way the direction the group is heading.
Next question for Coach is, as you look back, Coach, to the playoffs last year against Bowling Green State University, what was some of their biggest, I think what they're alluding to here is you were talking about how we played really well. Certainly had a much better, played better in even though we didn't win those games down there. What were the big differences in us not winning those games and them winning them in those two games for the playoffs last year?
Well, I think last year we didn't know how to win. I don't think we had the base to work from in a lot of different areas. Now, in that game, if you remember game one, we had a 2-0 lead in the third period and then took a 5-minute major. Marginal call, to be honest, but in that rink, you know, things are going to happen. And as it turned out, they ended up winning the game by 2 with an empty net goal.
Right.
And then the next game, we had the lead as well and played very well and it was a good game. And then, the game got away from us a little bit because again, we had to pull the goaltender. They got some power play goals and things. We had to pull the goaltender and they got a couple of empty netters and that changed a little bit in that game. But both games were highly competitive. And again, the first one with 8 minutes, I believe, left in the game, we had a 2-0 lead. And, their crowd was pretty stymied in that game and things were going in a good way. So, I just don't think we were ready. We hadn't learned how to win yet. And that is a process. I talk about the possibly the best team we've had here. Possibly. I think many would think that it was the team that we took to number one in the country at one point in the year. A great team. I think we entered the playoffs with maybe 6 losses on the year, 7, something like that. It was a good thing. But that team never won anything. We had a 2-goal lead with that team. And that's with Tanner and everybody on, you know, David Johnstone and those guys. We had a 2-goal lead in the third period against, Mankato and then the rails came off and back-to-back power plays, goofy things, you know, then all of a sudden, Patan gets called for a dive that would have put us on a power play. The different things happened. We played a great game against, St. Cloud. Mm-hmm. We went in as the number five seed into the tournament. So we were the number two seed in our bracket and absolutely dominated St. Cloud and had a 1-goal lead. They pulled their goalie with a 4-on-4 to achieve them a 5-on-4. They had a great power play. They score on the 5-on-4. And then we have a guy, we had a goofy play.
Lost his edge.
Yeah, lost his edge.
Well,
fell
first
down.
Of all, yeah, we had a chance to empty net it.
Yeah, but we were dominating them. The bottom line is we were having a very good overtime all over them in the overtime, shot after shot after shot. And then we had a play happen to the point where a guy caught an edge and then they went down on a 2-on-1 and shot it. We blocked it and it goes right on the guy's stick and it goes in the net. So we didn't learn how, you know, those things. Call them breaks, call them what you want, but there is a process. There is a learning how to finish things off. And those happen to good teams. They find a way. Look at last year. Bowling Green is up by 2 late in the game against,
that was crazy.
Against Mankato. Mankato knows how to win. They came back and forced the game into overtime, scored with the goalie out late and won in overtime and took a championship out of nowhere. Bowling Green wasn't ready yet. And now they're more tested. They're more prepared. Maybe it's their time. Maybe they're more ready now. So, it's a process. We just weren't ready last year. We played well. But there's, you know, the really good teams, there's just, you know, there's something special about them. The next year, I know I'm talking a bit, but the next year we finally won a tournament at Phoenix. We beat Yale or somebody in the championship game. I think we beat UConn, then Yale. And then we finally won. And then from that point on, we went on and shared the league title. And then the next year, we won the league playoff. And then the next year, we won the league playoff. Were those teams as good as the first year? Arguably not, you know what I mean? But they knew how. They because of what happened previously, they knew how.
Great questions, and we'll take some more questions if you have them on DJ@themix93.com if you are listening live here on Monday morning. Take a break. We'll be back with more of the Joe Schon Hour after these.
Lowe's has the supplies pros like you use most every day. And when the job demands more, we have the quantities needed for any size job at savings you can count on. Because when you buy in bulk, you'll get 30% off select in-stock insulation and get select in-stock drywall panels up to 15% off. Order at lowesforpros.com and have your order delivered to save time or pick up in store, where our pro loaders will be ready to load you up so you can get back to the job site faster. For the supplies you need at great savings, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. U.S. only.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's almost Busch O'Clock, a time for relaxing and unwinding with a crisp, cold Busch beer. It's the most refreshing time of the day. Wait for it. 3, 2, 1.
Busch.
Crisp, cold Busch. Enjoy responsibly. Busch Beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's Oktoberfest celebration time at Bucco's in Calumet. All six packs of bottled beer is on sale. All Coke and 7-Up 2 liters are 2 for $3. Pepsi 1 1/4 liters, 4 for $5. And Pepsi 12 packs only 2 for $10. Canada Dry flavored seltzer, 8 packs are only 2 for $5. Bucco's has all your deer feed, and they're totally stocked up with alpaca gear in the clothing aisle. All sales do not include tax and deposit at Bucco's in Calumet. Open 7 days a week.
Hey, everybody. Head Coach Joe Schon is in our studio as we are continuing on with the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We've got a lot of former Huskies playing professional hockey right now, Coach, and a few of them have had a little taste of the NHL this season, including Joel Esperance and Mitch Ranke. We saw him at Hockeyville here and Tanner Carroll, and all those guys are right there on the bubble, it seems like.
Yeah, we have a lot of players that have that are knocking on the door and done a good job. There's been some awful good players to come from here, and a lot more that are going to come through here. So Tanner, it'd be great to see him get up. He's such an incredible young man. It'd be good to see him get up and play. Matty Roy's up with LA, doing a good job. A lot of guys are doing extremely well, and it's always great to talk to them and get their input. And but I can say one thing, that they all have a deep admiration, a tremendous respect, and a great love for Michigan Tech.
I know that Tanner and Lesperance are playing together in the AHL, not on the same line, obviously.
Couple
of centers on there, and I was talking to Dale, I think, yesterday, and just chatting about that. But they're doing pretty good, and obviously can't wait for that another opportunity there. But Joel, a couple guys got hurt, and he got brought up and got some chances.
Yeah, he scored too. He scored a goal. So I think Tanner, Dallas isn't off to the greatest of starts. Last I saw, they were 1-5-1. I think is what they were. So you have to think at some point that he's such a responsible hockey player, and you have to know with him he'll be ready when he gets a chance to come up and be able to perform at his best.
Is there something about his responsibility, how responsible he is on the ice, knowing that, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but he's not going to hurt you. Does that put more weight on his on them bringing him up because he's so responsible?
Yeah, when you get to that level, there's a lot of things that come into play. Salary cap comes into play big time, and he's always intelligent enough to work his contract in a way that doesn't give a big salary cap hit to the big team, and you know, works a little bit better for him when he's playing in the in the American League. So he's a well-rounded player that can play it on both sides. He showed in Chicago that he can play the game on both sides of the puck. He's, you know, obviously comes from a great family, and he's well-grounded, and you know what you're going to get from him every time. You know you're going to get with him with practice. You know that he's not going to be the type of guy that's in the office all the time. You know, why aren't I getting this or why aren't I getting that? He'll just go and do his job. So, I don't know what went into him signing there, choosing to sign with Dallas. I think it certainly helps in his favor that he's with Scott White there.
Right.
Who's, you know, obviously has such great ties to here and has inside information on the history of Tanner. So, he's just one. There's a lot of players that, at various levels. Jamie Phillips now is playing over in Europe. Leibs is playing in the East Coast. I'm not sure where Angus is at right now. You know, we got some calls regarding him in the off season. I'm not sure where Angus is at now. He'd be on the last year of his 3-year deal with Anaheim. So, that's actually a good question. But there's a lot of former Huskies, banging around in pro hockey. I know Luch has scored at least one. It'll be interesting to see how things work out there with him. I know the coach there, Mike Vellucci, great guy. We've known each other for 25, 30 years and it'll be interesting. He'll certainly get the most out of Luch. So, all good things with those players. Berksies, you know, was in that trade for Phil Kessel. With Phil Kessel, it went to Phoenix. So there's, again, a lot of guys trying to make their mark.
I believe Tanner, we were wondering about Tanner. I think Tanner has 5 assists so far in the year in 6 games played. And if I'm not mistaken, he might be leading the Stars right now. And Joel Esperon's still looking for his first point. According to the site that I have here, this may be incorrect. But anyway, yeah, big. And you talk about Matty Roy. The more games he gets there, obviously the more established he's going to be and harder to take out, right?
Yeah, and you know, there's also a lot of things going on there. He's in the right age category with, you know, and in the right contract situation where you never know on the expansion situation with Seattle how that's going to work when you know who they're going to, you know. I certainly have to think that Mitch Rennke is going to be, you know, a prospect in that. I'd have to think that Les Brons is going to be a prospect in that. They have how they did it last time with Vegas that's obviously worked so well because Vegas went right to the Stanley Cup Finals is that, there were a couple different scenarios you could do to protect. You could protect so many veterans and do something else different, or you could protect less veterans and do something else different. I don't remember what the whole, hierarchy was of it, but it benefited teams, and then teams were trading guys, you know, or allowing guys to be available. They were trading them to other teams to get them back in a trade later for draft picks and things. So many things open up with these expansion situations, and there's a lot of guys that have worn our jersey that I think that will be in deep consideration in that in various areas because their talent level and what they've done. Like you just said that, you know, Tanner's basically a point of guy in Dallas. That's good because for the role he plays as a point of guy, you look at us right now, as long as a guy doesn't hurt us defensively right now, we're going to give him a chance to play as long as our goals against doesn't go up because we need guys that can help us create offense. Mm. But that could open the door for a guy like Tanner because they know he can generate some offense. And they know that he played in a bottom six role in Chicago for the most part and can play that side of it and do the penalty killing thing. So I think he's probably setting himself up well.
Well, it's a big weekend coming up, Coach. I'm guessing things leave later on Wednesday evening and make halfway get halfway down there and get ready for a practice on Thursday,
yeah,
Friday.
And this is going to be a fun weekend for us. To go down there and this will be great exposure for our guys to a good climate. And, you know, I think that caught us, we mentioned it last week a little bit by surprise, some of our young guys, because we didn't, that environment at Robert Morris, and no disrespect at all to them, but, like even Smitty said and you alluded to, we had more fans there. So in a lot of ways, the environment, the ancillary part of the game was scrimmage-like. The games counted as much as any other games, but there was no intimidation that went on from the environment of the contest. Now, when you stepped on the ice with our full house, with our great fans, with all of a sudden it was a whole different environment. It was loud before we hit the ice. It was loud when we hit the ice. The fans wanted things to happen. They were cheering for everything that could possibly ignite us and get us going, mm-hmm. which they do. That has to put some shakes maybe in some guys too, some young guys who told me openly that they were nervous to play in the game. Even some veteran guys that said, I don't know why I didn't, I was tight. So, their expectations, that means they want it, right? And they'll learn to handle those emotions. But this weekend will be that same type of environment. There's none that are better than ours. Everybody's trying to put together things like Michigan Tech.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the fact of it. Everybody is trying to emulate Michigan Tech. So it won't be any different than ours. It just won't be ours. It'll be the team will be, the crowd will be against us. Now, that makes a guy like Smitty even better because he likes that type of thing. And those are the types of hockey players you like, are those guys that just, isn't this great? Let's play some hockey.
Coach, I've heard you say over in the past, though, you go back to a game like at Robert Morris or some of the other places where they don't have the same following fan base that we have, that you have to somehow mentally create your own excitement for the game or your own drama for the game. Is that true? In a way?
You know what you want? What you really want is that the environment doesn't matter either way. Yeah. You know what I mean? That it doesn't matter. If you get in the Super Bowl, I've said this so many times. I like the old Navy SEALs thing. You don't rise to the occasion. You sink to the level of your training. You want to have to settle yourself down to, okay, listen, let's focus on what we do. Let's focus on this. Let's have your cues. And you really want to bring practice into the games. I think that's what we were able to do at Robert Morris, is bring practice into the game. And I think that, credit to Alaska, a lot of things obviously play into it, but we didn't until really the second period Saturday and the third period Friday, we didn't really bring our practice. And then from that point, both third periods were very good. Mm-hmm. We had in both games, we hit iron multiple times. We still weren't great, but we were awful. We were much better and created scoring chances and didn't give up anything.
Eight shots for total for both third periods, I think 4-4. That's all we gave
against,
up.
Against. Yeah, and one scoring chance in both games in the third period. And we generated something like 25 in the third period in the two games. So we were with multiple scoring chances. And like I said, we hit a crossbar and a goalpost Friday night, and we hit two. Bots hit one, a member, in the third period on Friday night. And then Saturday we hit two goalposts. So now, did we deserve it? No. Did Alaska deserve it? Probably. But those are growing things that we need to get through, and you want to bring your practice into the game and establish that. So you really want the crowd to have as little impact on you as possible, and at home as much impact on the opposition as possible to get them out of what their comfort zone.
Sounds good, Coach. We appreciate it. We can't wait for this weekend. Huskies will be live from Bowling Green on Friday and Saturday night. We'll have a 6:30 pregame, 7:07 drop of the puck right here on Mix 93 WKMJ. And let's drop the puck and play hockey.
Yeah, they're a top 10 ranked team now. Yeah. So I'm excited to get against them and let our guys grow a little bit more.
Sounds good, Coach. Thank you very much. That's Head Coach Joe Sean here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Thanks for all your questions today, too. And we'll do it again next Monday, 10 o'clock, live on Mix 93 WKMJ.